We're joined by Professor Bob Howarth of Cornell University. He's a biogeochemist and ecosystem scientist. He is also an appointed member of the Climate Action Council of New York State. Some people may know that a number of years ago, he wrote a study with Professor Mark Jacobson, and a number of other scientists about how it was possible for New York State to meet 100% clean energy without the need for fracking. But just recently, he and Professor Jacobson have come out with a new research paper entitled How Green is Blue Hydrogen? And for those of us who follow climate on social media, this has been a big issue since the paper has come out. Professor Howarth, maybe just start a little bit, you know, what is blue hydrogen and why is this issue important?
Yes. Well, thanks first for the invitation to talk to your audience today, Mark. Blue hydrogen. Well, let me start with hydrogen. 96% of the hydrogen on Earth today is made from fossil fuels. And it's a lot of that, majority of that comes from taking the methane that's in natural gas, and it's treated under a lot of heat and pressure, and the methane breaks down into hydrogen and carbon dioxide. It's a hugely polluting process. So the concept behind blue hydrogen is to take that same process, but try to capture some of the carbon dioxide. And this has been very, very heavily promoted by the oil and gas industry as a possible way forward with climate change going back 3 or 4 years now.
I'll just mention, you know, methane is a greenhouse gas emission very much associated with natural gas. Short term, it is what, 80 plus times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon. And I noticed in the IPCC climate report that just came out, they actually attribute about 0.7 degrees of warming to the carbon emissions, but 0.5 degrees of warming to methane emission. So why has this attracted so much attention? And also, I should say, this is also very much linked to the tremendous promotion that's been going on, frankly, by both of the major parties in the United States about investing heavily in carbon capture technology.
Right. I mean, there's a huge amount of push to capture carbon dioxide from industry, and in this case, from hydrogen. You know, it sounds like a great idea, right? Let's cut down on those emissions. The general problem is carbon capture is never 100% efficient. You're not capturing all of the carbon. And it turns out that, you know, for a typical electric power plant, when you look at the actual data, they're doing well if they capture 65% of the carbon. So you're still emitting some. On top of that, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to capture that carbon. And usually no one's paying attention to where that energy is coming from or what its emissions are. But, you know, obviously when you burn fossil fuels for that energy, you're getting emissions as well. What we did in our analysis, our peer-reviewed analysis published on August 12th, was to look at the complete picture for how we make blue hydrogen. You know, what are the carbon dioxide emissions directly? How much can really be captured? How much energy is needed for that? And also what the emissions of unburned methane associated with that are. And when you look at the whole picture, you know, this is a technology that the oil and gas industry sometimes calls zero emissions. More commonly, they call it low emissions. It is neither of those. It actually has massive emissions. It's higher than if you just burned natural gas.
So hydrogen itself, if we use that as an energy source, that is not particularly a concern, but the concern is more the energy and emissions we use to create the hydrogen that causes the potential problem.
Yeah, that's what the focus of our paper is. How do you make hydrogen? And, you know, people think of hydrogen as one of the important fuels of the future as you decarbonize, because you can use it in a fuel cell to produce electricity with really truly zero emissions. So if you could make the hydrogen with zero emissions, if the processing part was true, then this might be a good idea. The problem is, as I say, that today almost all hydrogen comes from fossil fuels, mostly natural gas. And this idea we can actually lower emissions with carbon capture is just not panning out. Ours was the first peer-reviewed analysis that looked at the entire picture, including the methane emissions. So I think it's caught people by surprise. The United Kingdom came out just recently with a proposal that this blue hydrogen is going to be a big part of their reaching a decarbonized future. We've upset them. I know we're upsetting people in the U.S. and elsewhere in the European Union as well.
From what I understand, you know, you are really considered one of the, I guess, worldwide experts around the issue of methane. And for many years, many people have had thought that, you know, burning natural gas was far better than burning coal or oil, which had more direct, you know, carbon emissions. But now people are beginning to understand that methane, because it is so potent, and not only do you have problems when it's burned, but it's also so much leakage, that methane really and natural gas really isn't a great environmental alternative to other fossil fuels.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, Tony Angraffi and I and others published, again, the first ever peer-reviewed analysis of how methane emissions contributed to the greenhouse gas footprint of shale gas. Just over 10 years ago, that came out, and people hadn't been thinking about methane. And we got a lot of pushback since then. Very first paper. Since then, there have been well over 1,000 papers on the topic, and there's still some controversy, but you know, our original results have held up quite well. And now, as you say, with the IPCC coming along and saying, we really need to pay more attention to methane, they're pointing out that we need to reduce methane emissions perhaps by 40 to 45% by 2030, next 8.5 years, if we that's the easiest way to accomplish reaching the goals of keeping the planet below 1.5 degrees Celsius. So there's a renewed focus on methane globally. A lot of the, perhaps the number one source of methane is from the oil and gas industry. And our new paper is suggesting that, you know, when you go with this thought of decarbonizing by making hydrogen instead, got to be real careful in where that hydrogen comes from. And if it's coming from natural gas, it's worse than natural gas.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, you are a member of the Climate Action Council, which, you know, is going to shape the plans for New York State, still largely controlled at the top by the governor and his staff. But, you know, we have a new governor, and so things may be changing. You know, what are some of the things you hope, particularly with, you know, say, the methane issue, that, you know, the state will agree to adopt moving forward?
Well, you know, the CLCPA mandates that we cut greenhouse gas emissions statewide by 40% by 2030, also 8.5 years from now. And when you look across the state, the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions is from heating our homes and heating our commercial buildings. That's from fossil fuels. A huge amount of that heating is coming from natural gas, and a large part of that emissions is from the methane that's associated with the natural gas. So if we're to meet the mandates of the CLCPA, and I believe all of the members of the Climate Action Council are committed to doing so, we need to start decarbonizing how we heat homes and businesses. We actually have recommendations on the council from one of our panels that we no longer use fossil fuels in new home construction or new commercial building construction within the next 3 to 8 years, depending on whether it's home or commercial. And we work also on, you know, dismantling our gas infrastructure, if you will, and moving to the world we need, which is renewable electricity and beneficial electrification for heating and transportation.
So we have about a minute left. So, you know, in the graduate, you know, Dustin Hoffman is told the future is plastics, which turns out to be a mistake. It seems like increasingly the future is geothermal and air heat pumps.
Yeah.
And I understand you put geothermal in your place. How does that work out?
Yeah, we have an 1890s farmhouse. We've been heating it since 2014 with a ground source heat pump. It's wonderful. And we keep the house warmer in the winter than we used to, because I don't feel guilty. It's incredible technology. It's affordable. The state level, what we need to do is figure out how to make the funding mechanisms work so that everyone can deal with it. The upfront costs can be intimidating, but from a societal standpoint, the costs overall are less than what we're actually doing with fossil fuels now, so we should be moving in that direction.
Yeah, and we recently put in air heat pumps at our house, and one of the things I discovered was that the rebate you get from National Grid, which I live, is substantial, but significantly less than Central Hudson, which is south of us. So it's not standardized across. Thank you very much, Professor Robert Howarth. How Green is Blue Hydrogen? And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.